This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. And thank you so much for joining me here today. I'm excited. It's Friday, Junior. We've got a big show planned. We also have a really exciting show tomorrow at Cape Gunworks. So please come check it out. We'll be there from 12 to 6. And that's always one of my favorite summer remotes.
They're going to be in a celebratory mood with this Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah, that's how we're going to start the show today, Jared. I think that a lot of people have opinions on this, might want to weigh in. The number, as always, is 844-500-4242. The Supreme Court ruled within the last hour, this just came out, that New York's regulations around obtaining a license to carry a concealed handgun were unconstitutionally restrictive. So I guess what they wanted to be able to do in New York was say, what's your reason for carrying? And then if you said, you know, to protect myself, that wasn't good enough. And it used to be that you didn't even have to say that. The rule used to be that you the reason was, you know, it's the Second Amendment. It's my right. But then that evolved into, well, my reason is I live in a tough neighborhood or I want to protect myself. And then in New York, they were going to be able to decide that that wasn't good enough. Well, this is a big win, obviously, for Second Amendment supporters around the United States. And naturally, that means that the far left is up in arms about this. And we will talk to David Harsanyi about it as well at 105, because he's got a piece on this and also on the what he's calling the Do Something bipartisan bill that the media is fawning over. He has a lot of criticisms of that bill, and for good reason. He thinks that all of the things that are packed into this, including, you know, billions of dollars for the FBI and for other organizations, that this is going to take years to even figure out what's going on. He describes it as a complete mess, and I think that having him on the show, he'll be able to kind of break down exactly what's wrong with this and exactly why having this emotional reaction to legislation isn't always the best way to go about things. We are also still waiting on the Roe versus Wade decision, which is bound to cause even more upheaval from the progressive radicals. We'll keep you posted on that every single day. There's a headline in the Daily Mail that it's going to happen today. It's becoming one of those things where I'm like, I think they're probably going to do the old Friday before the July 4th, don't you think? That would seem to me, if I was a betting woman, that's when I would put my money on. But I've been wrong before, and I'll be wrong again, so we will wait and see. Now, meanwhile, the gas tax holiday is looking unlikely, Jared. I don't know if you saw this over the last couple hours. Democrats have actually been coming out and explaining why they're not on board with it. It's a really interesting time to be alive. Elizabeth Warren is saying she doesn't think this is the best move. Of course, she's a senator from Massachusetts. She doesn't think we should get rid of any taxes.
It's those greedy corporations.
It's the greedy Biden administration. And, you know, if we're going to talk about gas, which seems like every day we start the show with this, but it is the number one issue for a lot of people right now.
It's up 7 cents today.
Making strides, making strides. If we're going to talk about this, I have a bone to pick, which I know what you're thinking. Really, Grace, you have a bone to pick? I do. I found something amazing, and I didn't catch this yesterday, partially because I think Karine Jean-Pierre got up around the time our show was wrapping up. So I just saw a lot of this morning. There was a cut where one of the reporters asked Karine Jean-Pierre why Joe Biden would not be meeting with the heads of the oil industries that I believe are coming to the White House. They're having a meeting. Secretary Granholm will be there, a lot of these Biden advisors will be there, but the president will not be there. Can I have that cut, Jared, please? This is KJP when asked why Biden won't be in the room with all of these people. Cut 25.
I mean, the president expressed this sentiment again today on really laying down the hammer on these big oil companies. And so why is he not in the room tomorrow to express this message himself?
Well, the president talked about this, as you said, as you just stated earlier today. The Secretary of Energy, Senator Granholm, was just standing before you, is going to have those conversations. And what we want to see is a solution, come up with ideas. There will be representatives from the White House who will be in the room as well.
A few things. And we can't dwell on the small mistakes because we have to deal with the bigger mistakes. But did she call her Senator Granholm? I was not aware of that.
Is he not in the room tomorrow to express this message himself?
Well, the president talked about this, as you said, as you just stated earlier today. The Secretary of Energy, Senator Granholm, was...
She was so close, too. She got the Secretary of Energy thing right, and then she threw in the senator. They're always trying to give people extra titles in this administration, as if that's going to make up for the dumpster fire that continues. But let's talk about the fact that he's not going to be in the room for this. I find this unbelievable. And I said this to Howie, and he's like, well, what's he going to offer? That's not the point, though. The point is that he's the president of the United States, and he doesn't have time to meet with the heads of the oil industries while Americans are suffering through these insanely high gas prices. And he can't squeeze that into his schedule. Is he leaving early for his weekend summer retreat in Rehoboth Beach? Is he taste testing a new flavor of ice cream for Jenny's? Is he like pulling the cat's tail or practicing his bike riding for the weekend, putting on the training wheels? What is he doing? Is it nap time? Why can't he sit in the room? I understand he's going to offer no solutions. I understand that if anything, he'll probably slow things down. Because a lot of times when people would have criticisms of Joe Biden way before he became president, people like Barack Obama, his BFF, it would be that he would, you know, really slow down the gears because he'd ask all these ridiculous questions and go off on tangents. And I'm sure that that would happen in this case. But the principle of it is that you're the president and you have enough gall to insult these people every time you have a press conference. And to politicize what's happening and to make partisan attacks on the heads of the oil industry. And then you don't have enough decency to at least meet with them face to face because you're a coward. Why on earth can't this man be in the room? He certainly, like I said, he has no problem talking tough about these guys when they're not there. But he can't sit down for a face-to-face with these greedy SOBs, with these billionaires, with these guys who got to invest. You got to invest. So what's the deal? Does he only want to meet with the Saudis about gas prices? Is that the only people that he'll go hat in hand to? He won't sit down?
I don't know, to be clear.
It's really nuts. It's really, really nuts. And Granholm, for her part, the Senator Granholm, as I guess we're now calling her, she has no idea what's going on either. And that brings me to another topic, which I want to talk about in this first hour. There's a good piece in the Free Beacon, and they interview this guy, and I'm going to butcher his name, okay? This is a fair warning. Gird your loins. I'm about to butcher this man's name. Harputlian. 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 And he is a, that was my best attempt. He was a state senator for South Carolina and a longtime Biden advisor. Now, he was giving his advice to the Free Beacon for Joe Biden, and it was a wide-ranging interview. And you know what the number one thing he said was, Jared? He's got to fire somebody. He has to fire somebody. It's not a messaging problem. It's an administrative problem. They have all of these people who can't do anything. They had Granholm, right? Yesterday, she's at the podium. And they ask her about what Powell said about inflation not being because of Putin and, you know, Russia invading Ukraine and all the things that this administration claims. And her response was, oh, I didn't hear that. The incompetence is mind-blowing. And no one's been fired this whole time. Trump used to get a lot of heat because it was like a revolving door. But at least if people stunk, they would, you knew they were going to be out within 6 months. In this case, everyone has either left on their own accord for a nice deal at MSNBC or has stayed around and continued to fail up in this administration. And my theory is, and maybe other people have a different theory, my theory is they're afraid that if they try to fire someone, especially like a head honcho, especially someone with a lot of pull, then that person will turn around and start dishing on what it's really like inside the White House. So they don't want to burn any bridges with any of these hacks. But still, it's in any company, in any private company, if things were going this badly, people would be fired.
Well, I was talking about this in the larger scope of the Democrats in governance now, and even some Republicans. If you have a sports team and your team has crap players, you have to rebuild. You have to get good players. You
right.
can't have terrible players for 5-6 years and hope that they just get better. You have to get rid of those bad players and bring in good players.
But they don't care. The losing is starting to seem to me like the point. The goal is the losing. So I don't know. It's really strange. And these non-answers from the White House staffers are pathetic. 844-500-4242. Also today, I want to talk about LA's district attorney, George Gascon. Every single day, it feels like we have a new story about a person who slipped through the cracks, who was allowed out of prison, and who goes on to murder someone. And Gascon just comes up with apology after apology or excuse after excuse, not even apology. And we're going to discuss that. I have that story here. Plus, one other thing I want to talk about today. We have a host of things we're going to get to, but the last tobacco war, that was a story I read from the Wall Street Journal. Biden is coming after. Now, Jared, is it the Juuls or the vapes, or are they the same thing? Is Juul, it's a brand
Juul
of vape.
Juul is a brand of vape.
Okay.
Yes.
And they don't have the fruity flavors anymore.
No, those were done away with 3 years ago, maybe.
And it didn't fix the problem, huh?
It did not somehow.
And that's so weird. It's weird. They got rid of the fruity flavors and the problem persists.
And at the time, they got rid of all tobacco, flavored tobacco products in Massachusetts. It wasn't just like the Juul oils. It was all flavored tobaccos at the same time. So they another freedom they stripped.
Well, if you're worried about gas prices, the open border, rising crime, just know that soon Juuls will probably be banned, so you can rest easy. You can sleep good. Don't be staring at that ceiling fan. Everything is in good hands. 844-500-4242. We're going to have a lot of fun today. We have a lot to talk about. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. The big news of the day is the Supreme Court struck down New York gun law, making it easier for Americans to carry handguns. Now, keep in mind what I'm about to read you is from USA Today. So just take it with a grain of salt. Some of the phrasing of this seems it's slanted just slightly. But I do want to fill everyone in. If you're just tuning in, you're just seeing this story. It is by far the biggest story of the day. We'll be talking to David Harsanyi about it in the 1 o'clock hour. But right now, I would love to reach out to the listeners. And I want to know how people are feeling about this. It's a big win for Second Amendment supporters across the country. It's involving New York, but it could very well affect a lot of other states throughout the country. So Supreme Court strikes down New York gun law, making it easier for Americans to carry handguns. The Supreme Court on Thursday invalidated a New York law that requires state residents to have proper cause to carry a handgun, a decision that could make it easier for millions of Americans to arm themselves in public as the nation is reeling from a string of mass shootings. Now, I want to get down here to the proper cause part of this because this was really the crux of the problem. At issue is a New York law that requires residents to have proper cause to carry a handgun. In other words, a need for a permit greater than the general public. During the course of a two-hour oral argument in November, it seemed clear a majority favored striking down New York's law. The real question in the case is the scope of the court's ruling and how many similar gun regulations it will affect across the nation. At least six other Democratic-led states, including California, Maryland, and New Jersey, have licensing similar to New York's. Together, those states represent about a quarter of the nation's population. Much was made of the court's decision last year to hear the case, in part because the justices had turned away other Second Amendment appeals for years, and also because they seemed to pump the brakes on culture war issues more generally. So this is a really huge story today. I'm sure we'll be hearing from the Biden administration about this. We'll get some of Joe's expertise when it comes to the Second Amendment. I'm wondering if we're going to hear about the old can't buy a cannon or Kevlar vests. I just have a feeling, Jared, that that's coming our way.
That's true. Cannon sales are going to about to shoot up in New York, I think. I get the feeling.
Yeah.
Buy a cannon at the pawn shop, you know?
He never misses a chance to come out and comment on something that he knows nothing about. And I don't think this time is going to have any exception.
But by the way, Kathy Hochul is having a totally normal one right now.
Oh, yeah. This. Do we have her sound? She was reacting to this. And keep in mind, you know, I'm issuing a lot of these reminders for people. Keep in mind, Kathy Hochul is especially desperate right now because things are looking pretty bad for her as far as remaining governor of New York. She's doing such a bang-up job, as you could probably tell. But this is her reaction to the news that the Supreme Court struck down New York's gun law. Kathy Hochul, take it away.
I'm prepared to call the legislature back into session to deal with this. We've been in contact with the leadership. We're just looking at dates. Everyone wants a little bit of time to digest this. But I will say we are not powerless in this situation. We're not going to cede our rights that easily, despite the best efforts of the politicized Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Well, the only reason you think it's politicized is because it doesn't align with your politics right now. When it aligns with your politics, you're fine with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court can be whatever you want it to be. You know, if they do something you like, they're holding up justice. They're stopping us. We're on the bridge of the abyss and they're saving us from destruction. If they do something you don't like, democracy dies in darkness.
So federalism is back and states don't have to cede their right to the government. Ron DeSantis would like a word.
Well,
please.
Also, let's talk about how when we look at these shootings, take the subway shooting, for example. Does she think that the crazy man who was on the subway who was able to wander around for quite some time before he was caught by the police? Does she think that he's the type of person who's going in and applying for these things? And, you know, giving his proper cause for wanting a gun? I don't think so.
Oh, I'm sure that gun came in from Pennsylvania. Come on.
Steve, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. What's your take, Steve?
Hey, Steve. I mean, hey, Grace. Sorry. No, I found it interesting, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the New York State withdraw the case and then the Supreme Court decided to pick it up?
I don't know if that is true. It very well could be. I just know that this is the first case that they've taken along these lines in quite some time, Steve.
Yeah, I just recall hearing that they the New York tried to get rid of it, and the Supreme Court just picked it up because they felt that it was an important issue. But I may be wrong.
Yeah, I know that Toby's been talking about this for a very long time, this issue, and it is ridiculous that saying I want it for self-defense isn't even considered a good enough reason. And who's deciding? That's the question. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with more of your calls. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
I'm sorry this dark day has come. They were supposed to go back to what was in place since 1788, when the Constitution of the United States of America was ratified. And I would like to point out to the Supreme Court justices that the only weapons at the time were muskets. I'm prepared to go back to muskets. I don't think they envision the high-capacity assault weapon magazines intended for battlefields.
claim to be any sort of constitutional scholar. I think we can all, we all know that that's not something that I purport to be. However, if you were to take Kathy Hochul and have her sit down with, I don't know, Clarence Thomas, do you think her arguments would hold up? Do you think that she would convince him? Because it feels like she knows just about as much as, you know, the libs who are melting down on Twitter. I don't think she really thought this through very much. They use like the same kind of talking points. If you're just tuning in right now, the number is 844-500-4242. And what we're talking about in this first hour is the 6-3 decision in favor of the Second Amendment that the Supreme Court just made, striking down a New York gun carry law that essentially made it very difficult for people to have a gun if they wanted to protect themselves or for any reason. The reason had to be good enough for another, you know, a higher power to deem necessary. And it was unconstitutional. And now liberals on Twitter, you just mentioned Hochul having a normal one. It would appear that's the theme of the day, is liberals having normal ones on Twitter. Keith Olbermann. Why are you laughing already? That's not...
Olbermann is endless entertainment value for me now. I mean, he's deranged and dangerous.
I can't picture him.
To read, but...
When I read his tweets, I don't picture him saying them. I picture him screaming them. Because that's the only... Any video I've seen of him over the last 5 years,
he's been... Just on a balcony somewhere?
Yeah. Like New York behind him, a beautiful penthouse, and he's... So this is the tweet. It has become necessary to dissolve the Supreme Court of the United States. The first step is for a state that court has now forced guns upon to ignore this ruling. Great. You're a court? Why and how do you think you enforce your rulings? Hashtag ignore the court. He's got that like Joe Scarborough over enunciated words type thing. Ivy Leaguer type voice.
They apparently enforce them by rule of the Constitution, Keith.
So you disagree that we should dissolve the Supreme Court?
I think the Supreme Court has a place, yes.
I know that it's thrown around a lot, the boy who cried wolf scenario, but it really does. I mean, it's a lesson to be learned. If everything is the worst thing in the world, then nothing is the worst thing in the world. And these people don't understand that. Here's an example. You know, sometimes you're in a fight with someone and you'll get really upset and you'll cry. I mean, you might not know this, Jared, but let's say girlfriend starts to cry. That can have a powerful effect on a fight. You can win the fight like that. If you do it every time, though, it loses its oomph. That's what they do every single time. They break down in tears and it's like, oh, God, again? It's like the girlfriend in Seinfeld when she cries when she drops her hot dog. Oh, we're crying again, huh? Your shoe's untied. We're crying again. This is the end of the world. This is the thing that's going to do us in. It wasn't net neutrality. You know, it wasn't January 6th. Now it's this. The Supreme Court decision on a gun law in New York. Huh. I feel like we've gone over this before. Now, I think maybe one of the worst takes was from this guy, Neil Katyal. Not sure who he is. He's a blue check mark. That's all I know. He probably has a Substack, whatever. He said, it's going to be weird. And keep in mind, this has 54,000 likes on Twitter. Going to be very weird if Supreme Court ends a constitutional right to obtain an abortion next week, saying it should be left to the states to decide, right after it just imposed a constitutional right to concealed carry of firearms, saying it cannot be left to the states to decide. Now, again, if I'm wrong on this, call in. Inform me. I'm always opening to learning these things. Is abortion mentioned in the Constitution? Is there any part of the Constitution where you see the word abortion? Because I would like to get that. Well, you know the thing. I want to know the thing. Does it say that in the Constitution? Because if it does, then I think Neil's onto something. If the founding fathers were pro-abortion, if they thought that people not being able to get an abortion was going to be the end of democracy as we know it, then someone screenshot that to me ASAP. I would like to know.
Well, and to your point, and to counter the point of Kathy Hochul about the whole musket thing, the founding fathers actually did envision weaponry changing. That's why it is the right to bear arms and not the right to maintain a musket. They knew weapons would evolve, and that's the all-encompassing or the absolute part of the Second Amendment that eludes people like Joe Biden.
Spoken like a true bitter clinger, Jared.
Absolutely. And by the way, Neil Katyal apparently is a Supreme Court lawyer, according to his blue check bio.
Oh, good.
A law professor, an extremist centrist,
Say that part again.
Extremist centrist.
That feels like an oxymoron. He's an extremist centrist?
Yes. And apparently he's a former U.S. acting solicitor general, whatever that means.
Joe Borelli, who we have on the show a lot, he's from New York City. He's a congressman. He says, the stark hypocrisy of New York Dem politicians pontificating over today's SCOTUS decision while they work to ensure there are nearly no consequences for those already arrested for illegal guns is astonishing yet unsurprising. Now, this is where I want to focus, because when you hear these Democrats who are melting down over the thought of someone in New York being able to conceal carry just because they want to, just because they've read the Constitution and they know their rights. They have a right to an abortion according to the Founding Fathers, and they have a right to carry a weapon. When you hear them melting down over this, I would be able to take it, or at least argue it more seriously, if when a situation arose where someone was found illegally with a gun, where one of these 30,000 gun laws we have on the books was broken, if they did anything about it, if that person was, I don't know, kept in jail for a little while, if they were made an example of for illegally obtaining a gun and using it to kill people. But that's not the case. So they want to add more laws. They want to punish law-abiding gun owners. And then when they have an example of someone who has broken the law, these laws that they claim are going to fix everything, they ignore it. That's what Joe Borelli's saying, and he's absolutely right. Now, here's a perfect example. This is Los Angeles, but they, as it was pointed out in that USA Today article, they have a very similar law on the books here, or they have a similar qualification to getting a weapon as they have in New York, or had, I should say, until today. LADA George Gascon's policies blamed for another killing. Now, I'm going to read you this and listen to this story. And just keep in mind that California has all of these laws on the books that we're told if we just have a few more, we'll prevent this kind of violence. And they have all of these things and they don't do anything about it. So a California murderer was freed from just 8 years into serving a life sentence thanks to a policy from Gascon, and now is facing charges in a homeless man's killing. His name is Victor Bibiano. He's 30 years old. The slaying occurred less than a year after Bibiano was released from prison. Bibiano had been serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole for a... Ready, Jared, this is what he was serving a life sentence for. Because I know you're probably thinking, well, he was let out of this life sentence after only 8 years. It must have been for smoking a joint or, you know, another nonviolent, a carjacking. Because we know they like to reference that as a nonviolent crime. Here's what he was arrested for and had a life sentence for. Special circumstance, double murder, attempted murder, and shooting a firearm at an inhabited dwelling, as well as gun and gang enhancements.
I didn't understand every word, but murder sounds bad to me.
Yeah, you're familiar with that word.
That seems like it's bad.
He had been 17 years old in 2012 when he and two other men were convicted in adult court for the 2009 killings of two rival gang members and the attempted murder of a third. Because of Prop 57, Bibiano, who was a minor at the time, was eligible for a transfer hearing in juvenile court to determine if he should be tried again as an adult. In 2020, Bibiano's conviction was vacated under Prop 57, and his case was sent to juvenile court to await a transfer hearing. But then, enter Gascon. Whenever you start reading these things, you know, you can feel Gascon's about to pop up. You're like, oh, he sees this all going down. But when Gascon became DA in December, he immediately banned trying defendants again in adult court for crimes committed when they were juveniles. In May of 2021, one of his special assistants appeared in juvenile court on his behalf and informed a judge that the DA's office would not be taking part in a transfer hearing. Kathy Cady, who is acting as a representative for one victim's families, pointed out to the newspaper that according to a memo from the Writs and Appeals Division of the District Attorney's Office, California law requires that the court conduct a transfer hearing. The juvenile system does not house anyone over the age of 26, and Bibiano at the time was in his late 30s. So the judge handling his case had no other choice than to free him. Gascon argued that his office could not seek a transfer to adult court unless it could prove Bibiano would not have benefited from juvenile rehab services at the time he committed his offenses. So they would have to, you know, prove that he was a violent monster. And I guess the double murder thing wasn't going to work. That wasn't enough evidence for them. Now, this is what the DA said. Given that Bibiano had no prior delinquency record at the time of the homicides. I don't know about you, Jared, but when I've got something in front of me, it says homicide. I'm not that concerned about the priors. I'm more concerned about the homicide part of it. Again, you said murder sticks out to you. Homicide sticks out to a lot of people as well. He had no serious infractions while in prison. Okay. And he presented other confidential mitigating information. We determined we could not meet that burden. In other words, we can't tell you about it because it would jeopardize the investigation.
Sources.
Yeah, sources and methods. Gascon also pointed out that evidence suggests that Bibiano did not personally shoot or kill Rodriguez in April. The report comes amid a campaign to recall the first-term DA over what his critics have described as his soft-on-crime policies. Now, I just give this as an example because people in California, people in New York, they get up in arms about adding new laws or restricting gun owners from, you know, being able to conceal carry. And then these kind of things happen, and you don't hear much from the far-left radicals about how, I don't know, protocol wasn't followed or how, you know, we have to keep people who break gun laws in jail for longer. I think that would be helpful. It all ties in. It really does. And this mentality, this soft on crime mentality coupled with this defund the police ideology has all led to more crime. And adding more laws on the books is not going to fix it. I hate to sound like Kamala Harris here, but we need to get to the root of the problem. 844-500-4242. We'll take your calls on this when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
President Joe Biden, or whoever is writing for him at the White House, came out with a statement about how he's deeply disappointed. A lot of I's in this statement. I'm deeply disappointed. I remain committed. I've already taken more executive actions to reduce gun violence, and I will continue to do all that I can to protect Americans from gun violence. I urge states to continue to enact and enforce common sense laws. And then I call on Americans across the country to make their voices heard. And also he mentions that the Second Amendment is not absolute, which is one of his favorite lines. Baxter, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Baxter.
Hey, good afternoon, Grace. Thanks again for taking my call. Great show as usual. So I listened to the governor of New York saying that the law, the SCOTUS ruling, was reprehensible, dangerous, and that the Supreme Court had no right to make overrides the state's rights to make state law to protect their citizens. But when it comes to Roe versus Wade, it's a little different, right? No, it should be federalized, and the states don't have a right to regulate their own abortion laws. That sounds a little hypocritical to me, as usual. Don't you think?
I'm sorry, Baxter. Run that by me one more time. I was distracted here for a second.
Okay, so the governor of New York says that the state should have their rights not taken away to make laws to protect their citizens and the law.
Right, now, yeah, now, no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, well, this is the problem, is that, you know, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, and we know it's going to be a complete bleep storm when that happens, and it's supposed to happen any day, the idea that the left and the media are kind of throwing out to, you know, low-info voters is abortion will be illegal. But as Baxter points out, no, it will go to the states, and then they can decide. And in the case of that, the left does not like the states having the option to decide, because then what happens is, and here's the key, Baxter, then what happens is all of these politicians will have to explain where they stand on abortion limits and how far along should a woman be before you say you can't have an abortion. And they don't want to have that discussion because it makes people very uneasy. And that's actually where they lose a lot of the middle. The middle, you know, the people who say, ah, it's your body, you can do what you want. Those people aren't thinking, well, a woman who's 8 months, 9 months pregnant should be aborting her child. So that's why they don't want that issue to go to the states. But if it's an issue like this, where they think they can trample on your Second Amendment rights, then they're all for going to the states. And that's the big difference. Sorry about that. I was reading here a little bit about the gun laws in New York. And I'm just trying to figure out some of the other weirdo laws they have in that state. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Law Office of Jeffrey Miller. Everyone can go through bad times, but that doesn't mean you're a bad person. Attorney Jeff Miller represents good people in bad times, and you can reach him at MillerCriminalDefense.com. That's MillerCriminalDefense.com. Attorney Jeff Miller, reasonable doubt at a reasonable price. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Who deserves to be fired from the Biden White House first?
Everybody.
Energy Secretary Granholm, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, Chief of Staff Ron Klain, Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, or Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre?
Not Karine, because she's given us way too much material lately. Granholm's really bad. She's very bad, and she doesn't seem to have any knowledge on the basics of energy for the Energy Secretary, so I'm going to say Granholm.
Granholm at 21%, 26% for Buttigieg in the lead, 24% for Karine Jean-Pierre.
You know, that's true. There's been a lot of transportation issues since Mayor Pete took over. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with David Harsanyi. Don't go anywhere.